Well, yesterday started off with, literally, early in the morning, an 8.8 magnitude earthquake hit central Chile. And fortunately, it was, even though the magnitude was much greater than that which hit Haiti just a few weeks ago, it was located in an area that was a little bit farther away from heavily populated centers, and because Chile's standard of living is much better than those of Haiti, they were able to have building codes that required their buildings to be a little bit more resistant to earthquakes. And while the damage, certainly an 8.8 earthquake is not going to be free from damage, no matter what your building codes are, was much less than a few weeks ago. What was interesting was that almost immediately after the earthquake hit, tsunami warnings began to go out across all the areas, the land areas in the Pacific Ocean. And of particular concern for most Americans was the islands of Hawaii. I was reading about it on the internet, and it said that they were able to clock the speed of the tsunami about 500 miles an hour it was traveling, and they calculated that it would reach Hawaii somewhere between 4 and 4:30 in the afternoon our time. And as I was reading it, I looked at my watch and it was 4:15, and I said, I got to get down and turn the TV on and watch this, which I did. And our with our wonderful technology, I tuned into, I forget whether it was Fox News or CNN or one of the news channels, and sure enough, they had live pictures of a camera pointed out over the ocean waiting for this tsunami to come ashore. And for the most part, the people had obeyed the warnings. They were told to get to higher ground, which they did, and pretty much the scene was barren, other than there was a whale or something that was swimming around in the ocean out there. You could see the thing surfacing. But other than that, it looked like normal situation. And they did report that the first wave of the tsunami had already reached the shore, that the level of the water had risen about 1 foot in a very short period of time. You know, I was looking through this 25-foot high wave of water coming ashore, never even saw the thing. It just kind of, there it is, and a normal wave, and that's all that there was to it. Consequently, even though there were multiple waves that were coming, some of the people looked at the impending catastrophe and they said, it's not worth it. And within a few minutes, the camera showed somebody walking on the shoreline, and the commentator, this was on CNN, said, either that person doesn't have a TV, a radio, or common sense. And then later, about a minute or so after that, he said, you know what? There's a handful of people out there surfing. To which there were a few other comments. And I thought, you know what? Here is the news of impending disaster with reasonable expectations of it, and people couldn't care less. Oh, it's not going to be much. Life will go on as usual. Let's get back to doing the things that we enjoy doing and forget about catastrophes. There is another catastrophe that is coming, far greater than an 8.8 magnitude earthquake, far greater than any tsunami wave. It won't happen just in local areas. It will encompass the entirety of the earth. It is the destruction of this planet at the end of time. And it is a sure thing. Peter talks about it in his second epistle, beginning in the third chapter, and we want to consider that as we move along in our study this morning. Listen to what he has to say. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. The word stir up is an interesting Greek word, It's diagyro. You can hear the word from which we get gyroscope from. A gyroscope is an object that spins, and it's used for measuring and maintaining stability. And the idea of this word is that I want to stir up the things that you already know that you might maintain stability in the world around us. I want you to take the things that you have been taught of the Word of God and that are kind of lying dormant and so arrange them that you can put things in perspective and understand what's going on in the world. That you may, be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of His coming? Now keep that in mind, because that is really the central focus of this thing here. There had been prophecies, there had been biblical exhortations concerning the second coming of Christ. And a few years had gone by since Christ was walking upon this planet, since His crucifixion and resurrection, that Peter is writing this, and He hadn't come back. And there were those that were saying, you talked about His second coming and the judgment that is associated with that, and not much has changed. It's not that big of a deal. Let's get back to doing the things that we like to do. For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. We've heard these stories before, but in reality, nothing has really changed. There's nothing new under the sun. Why bother getting all excited? The world is just going to go on and on. Kind of like the snow. It just goes on and on. Notice what Peter says of the folks that have this mindset. Verse 5, for this they are willingly ignorant. The idea of these two words, willingly ignorant, means that they have determined not to consider the facts. Not that they just are passively ignorant of things, they are determinately ignorant of things. My mind is made up. Don't confuse me with the facts. You talk about the second coming of Christ. You talk about the destruction of the world. I don't want to hear it. Listen, we've been around and at Peter's point in time, if they did some chronology work, as a man by the name of Usher did, they would have been around 4,000 years. We've been here 4,000 years and nothing has significantly changed during that time. Oh yeah, there's been a little fluctuation here and there, and some minor catastrophes have come and gone. But the world has gone on, and so will we. For this they are willingly ignorant. Two things. Verse 5, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. He's talking about creation. It's a little kind of confusing language here, but I want you to go back with me. Keep your finger here and go back to Genesis chapter 1 and read the creation story with me as if you never read it before, as if this is brand new to you. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. Well, actually, we know the scientists say that He really didn't do that. It came about by a big bang, and then there was this process over a period of 3.5 billion years of evolution and transformation. But if God wants to take credit for it, that's okay. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. Now, you know what? That really isn't how it took place. God went into His workshop one day and said, you know what, I've got to figure out how to create electricity. And after having a brainstorming session, He came to figure out how to do this. And not Thomas Alva Edison, but God Himself created the light bulb. so to speak. And there was light. You know what? It didn't take a period of millions of years to create light. God said, and it came into existence just like that. And there was light. And God saw the light, and it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness He called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. And God once again had a brainstorming session and went into His laboratory. No. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. Again, kind of iffy language, but it meshes right with 2 Peter. What you have is the earth, and it was inundated by water. And above the earth was a canopy, a vapor canopy. And they were basically touching each other. And what is said here is God said, let there be a space in between the two. And that space was called heaven. Now, not the celestial or the heaven where God exists, but the atmospheric heaven. So there's a vapor canopy of water, and now there is a world inundated by water beneath it. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second billion years. No, the second day. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. And in the course of another couple hundred millions of years, it happened. Wait a minute. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called He seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, and so on and so forth. And the evening and the morning were day three. Just like that. All of a sudden, here's a world that is inundated with water, and God spoke, and the waters separate, and dry land appears. Now, how did He do that? And God said. And just like that, it happened. Peter is saying that these folks are willingly ignorant that by the Word of God, the earth came into existence, and God fashioned it just as He wanted it and produced everything that was in it in 6 24-hour day periods. Oh, it couldn't happen like that. Wait a minute. Why couldn't it happen like that? The only way that you can say with any certainty whatsoever that it couldn't happen like that is if God doesn't exist. As long as you understand that there is an omnipotent supreme being called God, for Him to do this is a piece of cake. The only way with any certainty that you can say this didn't happen is to say that God doesn't exist. And if God doesn't exist, then it would have to take 3.5 billion years or more. So we understand where these folks are coming from. They are willingly ignorant. They don't want to deal with a God who is omnipotent. They are willingly ignorant that this world came into existence by His Word. And for a period of about 1600 years, that very same Word that created the world maintained the world. The moon revolved around the earth in its orbit. The earth revolved around the sun in its orbits. The planets revolved around, and the stars maintained their positions or whatever they do out there according to the Word of God. In fact, that's what Colossians 1:16 says, that God created, or the Lord Jesus Christ created all things, and by Him all things consist. Literally, they're held together. Not only are they willingly ignorant of that, verse 6, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. Here in the very beginning of time, God said, okay, waters, I want you to separate. I want the dry land to appear. And all of a sudden there was Africa or North America or whatever continent you want to conceive of. And God said, that's the way I want it. And for a period of 1600 years, that's the way it was. But then all of a sudden, things changed. The world that then was overflowed with water. Notice it doesn't say the area where the people were living overflowed. It says the world, the entirety of the earth. Was there any warning? Was there any reason for the people to do something? Well, the fact of the matter is there was significant warning given to them. Turn back once again, this time to Genesis and chapter 5. Here's one of these genealogies that if you're just reading through the Bible, you say, yeah, what's the purpose of this? And you kind of gloss over the thing to get through it. Where do you see the purpose of this? Look at verse 21. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. Something happened that caused a revolutionary change in the lifestyle of Enoch with the birth of his first son, Methuselah. We don't know how he was living prior to that, but it says after Methuselah was born, he walked with God. There was a closeness, there was an intimacy, there was a obedience, there was a faithfulness to the way he lived his life. I'd like to suggest to you that God communicated to Enoch, to Enoch, that there was a worldwide catastrophe coming. And that catastrophe was associated with the birth and death of his son. Now I'll tell you why. The name Methuselah literally means it shall be sent. We know from the rest of Scripture, I believe it's in the book of Jude, I forgot to look up the reference, but Enoch was one who prophesied of the coming judgment. He knew there was a judgment. I think God communicated that to him when Methuselah was born. And consequently, Enoch named him Methuselah because that judgment was coming when Methuselah would no longer be living. Now watch this. All the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him, and Methuselah lived 180 years and seven. Let me start and give you a little timeline here. We start with the birth of Methuselah. Verse 26, and Methuselah lived after he begot Lamech. That was 187 years, and Lamech was born. I have to back up here. I missed that. Verse 23. And all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. He lived another 782 years when he died. Okay? That's what verses 23 through 27 tell us. Verse 28, and Lamech lived 182 years and begat a son and called his name Noah. So 182 years go by, and we have the birth of Noah. And you know, Noah's the one who was around when the flood came. Turn over to Genesis chapter 7 and verse 6. Well, let me back up one verse. And Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him. And Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters was upon the earth. 600 years and the flood comes. Well, would you look at that? 182 years to the birth of Noah. 600 years after that. Let's see, if I do a little bit of quick addition, that comes out to 782 years. Well, wouldn't you know it, the very year that Methuselah died, the flood came upon the earth. It shall be sent. Enoch was a prophet of the coming judgment. And can you imagine him going out and saying to the people, look, I've got a son. And as long as he's living, the world's okay. But when this boy dies, catastrophe is coming. And the world said to itself, that's interesting. Wonder what we should do. Well, let's watch him. And Methuselah starts growing up and he's now 10 years old and he's doing all the things that 10-year-old boys do. He's healthy, he's active, he's happy, he's doing all those things. And they say, well, it's been 10 years, the boy's being a boy, no problem. And he keeps on growing and he becomes an adult. And Methuselah gets married. And after 182 years, he has a son. Man, I can't conceive of that. Pardon the pun, I didn't mean it that way, but I can't fathom having to raise another child at 55. I can't understand how a person 182 would have his first child. But there he is. And I would imagine the people in his neighborhood were saying, well, man, that Methuselah, man, he's going along there pretty good and he's as healthy as a horse. And time goes by. In fact, another 700 years go by. And he's still motoring around doing all the things that people do. And they say, they probably looked at each other and they said, that man's never going to die. For since the time that Enoch told us about that, all things continue just as they were. Nothing has really changed. Let's go about our business and forget about this idea of a catastrophe coming. And then all of a sudden, after 969 years, Methuselah dies. And what happens? The judgment comes. It shall be sent. For this, they are willingly ignorant that the very Word of God that created the earth, that maintained the earth, when God spoke it, destroyed the earth. We went through this a couple of weeks ago with Noah, so I'm not going to repeat the whole thing. But did Noah do anything to bring on the floods? Did he send a rocket up into heaven to break that vapor canopy so that the waters would come down and precipitate? No. Did he start drilling into the earth that the waters that were contained below should come up? No. All he went and did was chop down a few trees and build himself a boat and got in it. Oh, by the way, what saved Noah? Being on the boat? Being in the boat. For if he was standing on it, I can guarantee you one of those waves would have knocked him off. But he was inside. Our ark of safety is the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's not being on Christ, it's being in Christ that saves us. And hereby God's Word, God simply spoke, and the heavens opened up, the ground opened up, and the water came forth, and the world perished. That very same Word, verse 7, 2 Peter chapter 3, but the heavens and the earth which are now by the same Word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. God says, by my word I created, by my word I sustained, by my word I destroyed, by my word I refashioned and have kept it, and by my word, one day, it's going to end for good. When's that going to take place? I'd like to suggest to you that in the course of history, a couple of waves of this tsunami have come ashore. And consequently, people said, well, you know, we've had some earthquakes here, and we've had some tornadoes here, and we've had some catastrophic things happen here. We've had wars, world wars. We've had various plagues and so forth that have taken place. And the world keeps going on, and there's really nothing new under the sun. It's not really that bad. Life goes on. Let's get back to doing what we like to do. Consequently, the Lord Jesus said in His Olivet Discourse that as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man, for they were eating and drinking and giving in marriage. Nothing wrong with those things. It was just life as usual. You get up, you have breakfast. You do some work, you have lunch. You do some work, you have supper. You grow up, you get married, and you start the process all over again. Just life as usual. And as the people of Noah's day didn't realize until it was too late, so it will be when the Son of Man comes. Fortunately, yesterday, the majority of people took heed to the warning and sought safety. There were only a few that said, let's go surfing. Unfortunately, this coming judgment, it will only be a few that will seek safety. And my friend, if you're here this morning and you know not Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me tell you something. That whole process, beginning with the rapture of the church and the tribulation period and the second coming of Christ and the millennial kingdom and the final destruction at the end of it, could begin today. Maybe it won't. But if you're not in Christ, it will definitely take you away. But you know what? Peter's not writing this to those who are unsaved. This second epistle, beloved, I'm writing this to you that I can stir up your pure minds. Well, why do that? They're already in the ark. They're already spared from the coming judgment. This won't pertain to them. Why bother writing this to them? Because you and I are the ones who can reach the ones outside the ark. And how much time do we have to do that? And we'll see later on. In fact, Lord willing, next week, God is giving us time so that none should perish. But there is that day. It's coming. It's on God's calendar. Nothing can interrupt it. Turn with me, if you will, to the very end of the book. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things, beware, lest ye being led away with the error of the wicked fall from your steadfastness. Steadfastness of what? Well, in your own walk, but in that walk of reaching others for the purpose of their salvation. Who knows how much time we have left? Are you stirred up? If not, let's get that way. Father, we live all too much like those surfers yesterday, in the midst of a coming catastrophe. And fortunately, that catastrophe didn't take place yesterday. But we know with biblical certainty there is a day coming when this world shall perish. And we do too much surfing. Lord, may we be found faithful, steadfast, in the job that you have given us to do, to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ and bring honor and glory to your name. Lord, I pray if there's one in this congregation here this morning or listening to this message via the internet who knows not Jesus Christ as their Savior, that right now they might recognize that just as the biblical story of Noah is true, it's fact, it's history, that so is this prophecy of coming destruction. And that they might recognize that they need a Savior who is Jesus Christ and Christ alone, who died for them on Calvary's cross, shedding His blood for their sins. And that simply by faith they can reach out and call upon Him and have eternal life. Lord, accomplish Your purposes today through this message, and we'll give You thanks in the very precious and wonderful name of Christ, the Ark of our safety and Lord. Amen.